Well, as Father Nathan mentioned, it's really an honor for me to be back here at in West Bend amongst St. Francis Cabrini, where I served so long as a pastor, but also helping out over the years at St. Mary's and also at Holy Trinity in Newburgh. So it's really an honor to be really back home for me. And before I get to your wonderful letters, I brought a letter myself that I want to share with you today. The guy wouldn't let me read it beforehand. He sealed it pretty tight. This is someone you might remember from my years here. Dear confirmation candidates of St. Francis Cabrini, St. Mary's, and Holy Trinity, this is your old friend, Rick. Since my brother Jeff has spoken a lot about me to you in his homilies, and he's spoken a lot about you to me, he's asked me to write a short note to you in honor of your confirmation. First of all, I want to congratulate you on receiving the sacrament of confirmation. This is really quite an honor, a really big deal. You see, when I was young, I almost was not confirmed. It had to do with my choice of a confirmation name. Of course, you know from your training that you're supposed to pick the name of a saint or someone in the Bible. But I wanted to select the name of my favorite baseball player at the time. He was an outfielder for the Chicago White Sox, and his name was Walt Williams. But everyone called him Walt No Neck Williams, because he looked like he didn't have much of a neck. His head was very closely connected to his body. I learned that my choice of a name was not allowed, and that if I did not change my choice, I would not be confirmed. You may be wondering what's wrong with the name Walt or Walter. There must be a saint named Walter, but that name wasn't my choice. I wanted my confirmation name to be No Neck. In any case, I changed my choice to Maurice in honor of Saint Maurice. Maurice is also the name of my mom's dad, my grandpa Moriarty. So let me acknowledge you and praise you for completing the confirmation process and answering the call of God to serve as an adult in the church. Second of all, I want to offer you my sympathy. I'm sure that all of you thought that you were done with my brother Jeff when he left West Bend back in the year 2011. But here he is, coming back to West Bend to bother you once again. He sure can be annoying, can't he? Well, guess what? Welcome to my world. I've been putting up with Jeff for over 50 years. In any case, God bless you, good people, and may the Lord reward you for putting up with my brother Jeff. And it's signed Rick. Underneath, he gives his full name, Richard Joseph Maurice No Neck Haynes. He hasn't changed, has he? I really enjoyed reading your letters, getting to know you all again as you've grown up a bit in the 6 years that I've been gone. And it's really grateful to see how you've come along on this faith journey. You know, one of the things that I look for when I read confirmation letters, and I'm doing an awful lot of that lately, is I'm looking for a sign of commitment. How does the candidate express that? And you all did very well in that regard. You were very clear in saying, this isn't my father's choice, my mother's choice, it's not my sponsor's choice, it's mine. And I want to take this next step on the faith journey. I want to be an adult in the faith community, in the church. You really want to say yes to God. And that's a beautiful thing. In fact, one of you wrote this, I love this line. It said, I don't want to waste my life on myself, I want to live my life for God. And that's really what confirmation is choosing God. And you also know that when you choose God, you choose another thing, and you choose the cross. And that's a hard choice. And I think if you've grown in your process of formation, you realize it is. But you're still making that commitment. Yeah, it's hard to choose the cross. You're choosing sacrifice. It seems like you're giving up so much. But in reality, you gain everything when you do that. Because when you choose the cross, when you choose sacrifice, you choose love. And love is of God. Love is God. And it's eternal. And every other choice you make in the world is going to fall apart and it won't be there for you. When you choose love, when you choose sacrifice, you choose God. And that's always going to be there for you. You saw the courage, or you heard about the courage in the first reading today of St. Peter and St. John. What a change they went through, wasn't it? You know the stories before Easter, when Jesus was being arrested and put to death, how they, John stuck around at least at the cross, but Peter not only ran away, denied Jesus 3 times. But here they are taking on the Sanhedrin, the powers of government in Jerusalem, boldly proclaiming their faith. And they can do that because now they are filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of the risen Christ is giving them courage to make that choice for God. And that same Spirit's going to be poured out upon you tonight. And you're going to be changed. And you're going to be courageous and bold. You're going to choose the cross, choose God, choose love, the only thing that lasts. Now, some of you pointed out that coming to the commitment wasn't always easy. As you were searching for the question of should I be confirmed or not, and relooking at your faith, some of you said it was hard. There were times when you had doubts, uncertainties, when you wavered a bit. But you know, that's part of growing in faith. We heard about that in the gospel, didn't we, when the apostles were trying to relearn their relationship with Jesus after he rose from the dead, because he was who he was, but yet he also wasn't. There was something new about him, something glorious. So they had to grow. And we all have to grow in our faith. And we grow in faith through those tough periods. That's how we break through to a new understanding, a new relationship. And so many of you, you really tried to do that in this confirmation process. One of you wrote so beautifully, "I want to open the door of my heart all the way so that God can step in and guide me." That's the path to meeting God in this new and wonderful way that you're going to meet him tonight in the sacrament. A lot of you, when you were writing about your confirmation process, you used the language of discernment, that you were not just thinking about this, but praying about it and calling upon the Holy Spirit to guide you as you were making your choice. And you were led to not only a new awareness of God. So many of you pointed out that the more I learned about God, the more I really ended up learning about myself. And that's really what happens when we turn to God, because we are made God for God. And so the closer we grow to him, the more we become the best version of who we can be. In fact, one of you even wrote that. You said, "To be the best, I want to be the best version of myself, and I know that this is only possible with God's help." Part of your growing in that new relationship was a lot of wonderful service work. In fact, as I was reading your letters, I tried to come up with a list of the projects and the programs and the great things that you did. And I'm going to share it with you because it's impressive. Now, some of you served as a teacher's aide. Some did service work through the National Honor Society. Some service through the Student Council. There were a few of you that also did some coaching of younger people in baseball, volleyball, soccer, basketball. Some of you did some cleanup around the parish and around the neighborhood. I know one of you did some bell ringing for the Salvation Army. Some worked at the food pantry. Some did chores to help out family members and neighbors who needed that assistance. You had one who served on the God Squad for Catholic Youth Rally. Also in Shainstadt Group for Girls. Some of you worked with Habitat for Humanity. Some went to nursing homes to visit the elderly. Had some people who were catechists in the religious ed program. Some were involved in a youth government program. One was involved in an environment club. Some participated in the programming of the safe teen zone. Some of you just went to visit elderly neighbors had someone who worked for the boys' club and the boys' and girls' club. Some of you worked at pancake breakfast, spaghetti dinners, and an awful lot of you went on mission trips, some to Cincinnati, Buffalo, St. Louis, Virginia, Toledo, Appalachia, Kentucky, South Carolina, and some are going on a trip in the coming year to Kansas. It's an impressive list of service. And some of your comments upon it was just beautiful. Because as one of you noted, you know, even the smallest thing you do in love like that can have a huge impact. And one of you even said, you know, they call it service work, but when you're able to have an impact like that and bring joy to people, it's not work at all. It's a pleasure. And a number of you pointed out that when you were with the poor and you were serving them, you recognize in them the face of God. That's what Christ always told us, didn't he? When you do it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do it for me. So you encountered the Lord in this service, this beautiful service ministry. And many of you said, I want to do this for the rest of my life, not just because it was part of this confirmation program. This is the life I want to embrace. And it's a beautiful thing. One of the reasons I read that list to you, even though it was kind of long, because I wanted you to realize the collective force and power of this service work. We hear a lot and we think a lot about the power of evil in the world today, because all we have to do is look around and we hear it in the news reports and newspapers. Sometimes it's even in our face. And you say, wow, that power of evil is strong. But as you heard, the power of good, the power of God is even more powerful. And it happens when you do it together. So it's great to do individual things, but when you do it together, like in a church community, the force, the power, the collective strength grows. And the impact's huge. So always remember that the force of good is strong in you, and you can use it together in your faith communities. Of course, I've given you a lot of good news so far, but I have to throw in a caution as well. And that is that you know, we're talking about forces of good and the power of the Spirit working in us and making good choices. But I think you're probably old enough to realize now that there are some strong forces out there that are not receptive to churches, not receptive to God. There are some people out there that are really anti-God. It wasn't always that way. In the good old days, actually society was supportive of religion. It wanted it and thought it was good for the society. When I was growing up, that was changing. It was probably neutral. But it's not that way nowadays. There are efforts every day where people are trying to go after churches like ours. Why? Because they don't want to listen to anyone, not even God. They want to do whatever the heck they want to do. So you're going to have to fight those forces, and you're going to need strength to do so. One of you even described it, I think, in a very colorful way. You said, we're really in a tug of war against society, and it's true. But it's a tug of war we can win, because we have God on our side, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have people helping us as well. Because a lot of you know a lot about saints. When I was reading your letters, I was really very impressed at the reasons why you chose the saints you did, and how you seem to realize that they are your friends and they are your patrons, and they will be with you to strengthen you in that tug of war against society. And there was a wide variety of wonderful names. Some of you picked kind of like family saints. They were saints' names from our church communion of saints, but also these were people that reminded you of family, of parents and grandparents, aunts, uncles, and siblings. So some of you picked names like Catherine, Monica, Patrick, Jerome, James, and Andrew. Some of you, when you were selecting your name, you chose a patron saint who had a quality that you wanted to follow, you know, that you wanted to take on as well. Some of you picked St. Teresa of Calcutta or Teresa of Lisieux for the little way of love, to do even little things with great love and the impact that can have. One of you chose Teresa of Avila for her strength and confidence as a bold woman. Someone took Edmund Campion for his fortitude and fearlessness. And some of you, in selecting your saints, you picked a patron saint or a name that had something that you really could identify you could identify with. Some of you picked St. Cecilia for music and your love for music. We had a couple folks who picked St. Michael because you're thinking about a law enforcement career. A lot of athletes, so St. Sebastian was called upon. St. Francis of Assisi, some of you had great love for nature and for God's creatures. Some future veterinarians maybe. And some folks interested in the medical field. St. John of God, one of those patrons. And St. Catherine of Bologna for the arts. So you pick great patrons. And we really do believe in the communion of saints that our bond with those saints is never severed, that they are with us, and they'll help us in that tug-of-war society, help us overcome it. And there's one more thing that's essential if we're going to find the strength to win that battle against evil in the world. And that is, of course, the gift of the Eucharist. You will hear some people today say, even believers, that you really don't have to go to Mass, that you can find God in other ways, that you can go out into nature and see God in the beauty of nature, or you can go off by yourself in the quiet and in the silence find God in that stillness. And that's true. You sure can find God in the stillness. You sure can find God in the beauty of nature. But that's not what Christ asked you to do. And in the last hours of his life, he took that loaf of bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body." He took that chalice of wine and he poured it out and he said, "This is my blood." And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's what he asked us to do. Because he knew that's what we needed to keep going in this fight against evil and to conquer it. We need the spiritual nourishment that can only come from the Eucharist, and nowhere else are you going to receive the ultimate, real, true presence of Christ, that spiritual strength. You need that. So you need to keep coming back to the altar again and again and again. It's the only way we're going to win this battle. But you can do it. I want to talk a little bit now about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so many of you in your writing, you made wonderful notations about how you're looking forward to those gifts and to kind of, you're excited about what God's going to do in and through those gifts as you receive them. But I'm going to make a claim tonight, and that is that I think you've already got a little bit of an installment of those gifts. You are going to get the fullness of those gifts tonight in the sacrament, for sure. But you've also had a little bit of those gifts already bestowed upon you, and I think by certain people in your life. And I want to recognize those people tonight in the gift of the Holy Spirit that I think they bring, and I want to thank them as well. The first persons that I want to thank and also acknowledge their gift are the parents, your parents' candidates. So I'd like to have any of the parents with us tonight to raise your hand. Please do. I want to thank all of you parents. This is a big night for you. When you brought these young children to the church, you promised that you would raise them in the faith and you would guide them into the life of the church. And this is that key step, isn't it? The final step on the sacrament of initiation. So parents, you've guided them well. And for me, you represent the gift of counsel. So I want to thank you parents very, very much. I want to talk a little bit now about grandparents. Any grandmas, grandpas with us tonight? Raise your hand. Some of you with us tonight. Grandparents are very special people now more than ever. Because grandmas and grandpas are living longer, thank God. When I was young, grandmas and grandpas didn't live so long. Three of my grandparents died in their 50s. I hardly knew